WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my Fadley shirt on, so you know we're doing some Baltimore Positive right now. I got to get back down there for that delicious crab cake and some mac and cheese, so shout out to them. We are bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I've only got a handful of the Betty Boop tickets left, but we are going to be giving these away. We're going to be doing it all month long. The 15th, we move back up to Carroll County and Hampstead at Greenmount Station. The 22nd will be a G&A Coney Island hot dog. Not in Coney Island or Highlandtown, but now in White Marsh on Philadelphia Road with Andy. And then on the 27th at Conrad's Crabs, learning about how they're pulling all of those delicious crabs out of the water all summer long as the Crab Cake Tour continues, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. These wise conversations around our community. Don Moeller, I generally don't bring guests on this quickly back and forth unless it's Luke or you. We sort of had, it wasn't a dangling Chad, it was a dangling like thing for legislation about how we're going to pick our council members. And now that I'm a Baltimore County resident again, former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller, I'll let you do the honors.
Well, we had a little tease a couple of weeks ago. We had the former president of the Baltimore County NAACP joining us to talk about a lawsuit in Baltimore County regarding the council match that's since been rectified. And then there was a little tease that there may be some political activity down the road for this individual guest. So we said at the time, if there's a little news to make, we'd love you to jump back on Baltimore Positive and help us break the news. So, Tony Fugit, welcome back to Baltimore Positive.
Well, thank you, Don, for having me. You know, it's always good to see and talk with you and Nestor. I appreciate you having me back. And yes, we did talk about politics a little bit and about the county and the county council. And I'm pleased to announce to you that I've decided and I am running for the Baltimore County Council in District 2.
Okay. Well, there
what
we go.
What is District 2 now? Let's start with that because,
Nestor, that's the question, right?
All of the change. I mean, there was no secret that you may be doing this, right? And what this represented and the lawsuits. I mean, let's take it back to where we were a month ago and what's changed from now, from then until now. That's, you know, allowed you to think there's a lane.
Well, I mean, I always thought there was a lane. See, I have that type of personality where I get along with everyone. So I always thought that there was a lane for me if I decided to enter into a race and into a political race.
By the way, that's exactly why Don told me I couldn't run because I can't get along with everybody.
Yeah, two different personalities.
So looking back at it, you know, when the last time we talked, there was a case that was going on in federal court about the redistricting process. And there was an injunction, if you would, that was issued on the original map that the county, if you would, submitted. And the county then submitted a second map. And the judge, in inference to the county, accepted that map. And although that map did not create, if you would, a Black minority majority district, they felt that there was an opportunity for a person of color to win, if you would, in the second district. So the case hasn't been totally settled, but the judge did allow the map that they proposed to be accepted and will be utilized for the upcoming race in July for the county council.
Well, Tony, be specific for our listeners, and let's drill down. You say the case has not totally been settled. What does that mean?
Well, what that says is that we have until the end of the month, or the team does, to the end of the month to let the judge know whether we want to pursue the case, meaning the case, or whether it's been settled, if you would. So we have that opportunity to look at the map to say, does it really, you know, continue to violate Section 2, which some people will say that, in fact, it does, because basically the way that the law is set up, it would be a Black majority district, which, in fact, the second district is not. So basically the decision would be whether to pursue that, if you would, now and set a date and have a hearing on that and come up with a full decision, or to settle the matter. And that's clearly where it is right now, and that decision has yet to been made. And I guess the best legal minds and the rest of the community participants, the Baltimore County branch of the NAACP are meeting to determine what the next steps should be.
Well, describe. Nestor asked the question about the district. As drawn now, as the map is in place, describe the two parts of that. Describe for folks who are listening, trying to think, where's the second district? Give them a sense of what it encompasses, and then also give us a breakdown of the demographics in the new second.
Okay, so if you would, the second, think of Liberty Road inside of the Beltway, and you have like the Lockhearn area there, and that was incorporated into the second district. And think of it going across through Pikesville, all the way to Towson, to Falls Road. Okay, so if you think Liberty Road to Falls Road, and then
you're thinking north of Mount Washington, what we would say, right?
Right. And then if you continue to go north up to Reisterstown, okay, that would be, if you would, the area and the circumference of the district.
So 795 all in play, the entire 795 corridor.
If you go up 795 to the, as you're going out from the city to the right, would be part of District 2.
Okay, so that would be Reisterstown Road then.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Tony,
I live right off of Reisterstown Road, and I'm in 2.
Fair enough, but for this to be defined by race, right, like to say that that's where this is, I mean, I guess 20 years ago I may have looked at this and said, well, how are people moving? Now I look at this in the modern world and I say, it kind of almost has to be because of the way it's been for 100 years that people have moved. And if there's a gerrymandering part of this, this is for courts to figure out, right?
Well, I think it's for all of us to try to figure it out. And that's one of the reasons why I entered the race, is because I think that we can be a better, if you would, second district. And I think that it's going to take everybody coming together to make that work. And yes, the demographics of the county has changed since 2000, when the last time this redistricting process took place. The county is now a third Black, if you would. And you know, the demographics have changed in terms of the county. And
the numbers are, a county that's a third Black had one out of seven delegate, correct?
That's
council,
correct.
Council members.
Council members. That's correct.
Well, that's, well, you can just do the math. Anybody out there could do the math and say, that's probably not balanced.
Well, you would think that, yes, that is not balanced.
Tony has sort of been singing from that hymnal for a while. Tony, can you – tough question. It's tough on a couple of fronts. It's unusual. Baltimore County, by its nature, is, I'm going to say, regarding its elected officials, tends to be – conservative with a small c. And what I mean by that is they don't tend to throw incumbents out. And you're a smart guy. You've watched politics for a long time. So in order to get where you want to be, which is a seat up there on the second floor of the county courthouse, you're going to have to unseat an incumbent. Can you do that and have a race that's not personal and focused on issues? Question one. And if so, what issues will be front and center in Tony Fugit's elevator speech?
Right. Well, that's a loaded question. And to answer that is yes.
Well, I didn't mean it to be loaded, just to be clear. I meant it to be straightforward.
to defeat an incumbent can be done, and it has happened. And I think that the wonderful thing about going against an incumbent is you can take a look at one's record, and the record sort of speaks for itself. So if you look at, for example, the redistricting, the court agreed with us that the map that they originally drew was not compliant to the Voters' Right Act. And this individual voted for that. Okay. Even after, you know, the community pleading with him not to, you know, and his response is, as you said, hey, we support each other, so I've got to go along with that. Well, that's not the type of person that I am. I mean, I'm an independent person. I'm going to stand up and I'm always going to do the right thing. And I'm not going to be the, hey, I'm going to go along with the party line type of person. I've always been my own person. And if you would, the way that the district is set up today, I need the full community support in order to do that. I mean, I cannot do it with just the Black vote, if you would. I need everyone to see me as the type of person that they would want to have represent them in the second district. And it's interesting. I went back and I looked at some of my old photographs. And you might remember this, Don. There was a photograph where Kevin Kamenetz, a Jewish rabbi, a Catholic priest, and myself were marching at Gwynn Oak Park. And we were, if you would, the 50th year of that.
Oh, I remember
it. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? And that's really what it's all about. It's all about us hand in hand fighting for civil rights. And I think that is doable, and that's something that we should have done earlier, and that for us to do the right thing, that needs to happen going forward.
Go ahead, Nestor.
As a candidate, platform, things that need to be changed. Okay, you win. Now, how are we going to make the second better? The new second, new and improved. Where's the? Because I don't say your platform has been fighting for this, but there's been more of that than now that you're There's a. How do we make it better if we win?
Well, here's where we are at this point. I mean, if you think about it, it's not a one size fit all type of a district. So the needs for Lockhearn may be very different than the needs in Pikesville or the needs in Towson for that matter of fact, or Reisterstown. So to come in and say that this is the platform, okay, that wouldn't be fair to any of those areas. So what I am doing now is I'm on a listening tour, and that I'm going to all the community associations in the district, and I'm seeing what they have on their plate and what they think they are. Now, I can tell you that it'll probably fall into some general areas, like it'll fall into like education in the schools. Some will be concerned about public safety, others about housing, and then also post-pandemic jobs and the economy. So the issues will range in those areas, but it might be a different priority in a different part of the county. So there's not a one-size-fit-all. So I'm in a listening phase now where I'm actually reaching out and talking to the communities that are in the second district to see what their needs and really what their requirements are to make it with that better district that you mentioned.
Tony, you mentioned my former boss, Kevin Kamenetz, and he represented that area, parts of that area, for a long time. One of the things that he believed in his heart, and I think has proven to be true, was, and you and we have all on this show talked about public safety and how African Americans, I think, are often misrepresented on how important they think public safety is. I mean, I think they get pigeonholed in a way that's not particularly helpful. I know that Kevin really felt that many of the African American folks that he represented had public safety front and center. They had bad experiences in the past. Many of them had moved here from, Baltimore City. And one of the things they would identify is we love the city. We hated to leave, but we wanted to be in a place that felt safer. So do you think Kevin's sense of that was accurate? And if so, what will be your emphasis as you look at public safety?
You know, Don, it's interesting that you mentioned that. And I remember the first meeting that Kevin had when he had all the African-American ministers from around the county in.
And
he
invited me. Down in room 108. Exactly.
That's right. And he invited me in and he said that we're going to make this a priority. And this is something that I want to get your input on, and I want to know what we need to do going forward. And believe it or not, that discussion has evolved all the way to, I was in a meeting just last night where there's going to be a police accountability board. And basically, they're going to be holding, if you would, the police department accountable for their actions and what they say and they do, you know. And I guess this all got started back when there were just a disproportionate number of African Americans being stopped for traffic stops in Baltimore County. So either we're disproportionately bad drivers, or something else was happening. So that's what sort of got the discussion going. And then it broadened. And then fast forwarding, Johnny O created, if you would, a task force to look at it, which I participated in. I was a member of, where we came out with recommendations in terms of what the police department can do. And as a councilman, what I would want to do is to make sure that it continues, and that basically the steps that we said should be taken will be taken, and will, if you would level that playing field in terms of police stops and things that have involved the police.
Now, but, and I want to dig one little bit further on that, because I don't want people to misunderstand what you're saying, because you and I have talked at length about this topic. You come from what I call, people get tired of me saying it, the walk and chew gum at the same time. You believe we can have police accountability and at the same time enforce laws in a constitutionally sound way to make sure that the bad guys and the bad gals aren't terrorizing our streets, right?
You're absolutely right. Look, I attended the police academy, the Civil Academy, and I remember going in a situation, and there was a bar scene, and there was a lady, blonde, wearing a short dress, and she was alleged to have had a weapon, and I wouldn't frisk her. I said, "Oh, can't do that." So I looked away for a second, and next you know, I had a gun at my head, and I was dead. So I know how difficult it is to be a police officer. Trust me, I know that. So it's a balance of the difficulty of the job and basically community safety. So it's not an easy task. And clearly, I think everybody wants to sleep well at night, and everybody wants to have a safe Baltimore County. I mean, we're all homeowners and we're all in this together. So I think that that's going to be an important issue, and something that obviously will be addressed, and something that we need to continue to look at.
Look, I'm going to have Don stay out of this one. I'm just going to ask you, this is a good little political question for you here as we get toward the end of this. What's great about the county? I moved out here. Don would love to say I moved out here because I love the county and I couldn't wait to get back, and Johnny O and all that. I looked at all the counties. I looked at the whole area, the situation, and moving back to the county. My wife is now a county registered voter for the first time. What's great about the county?
Everybody has a niche in this county. I mean, you go from, if you would, an urban to a rural kind of environment
quickly. And just drive down my street and the raccoons come out.
And exactly. I mean, you know, we have to deal with that. And with
my somebody told me there's coyote and bear. I better not be.
In my neighborhood, it's deer, and they always seem to get into my garden, no matter how hard I try to keep them.
Mosquitoes and the reason we moved to Baltimore County was fresh air, an outdoor deck, and growing vegetables. And the more I look at these deer, and we had Carrie Engel on from Valley View, I don't know what we're going to do. We have to build a fortress. And then Linda Mahler tells me that the groundhogs will come up underneath.
Yeah, man.
Well, I've had to deal with those in the past, but it is a quality of life. And I think that Baltimore County is unique in that it offers that quality of life. And what I want to do is to continue that in District 2. And if you would make District 2 the model for Baltimore County and what Baltimore County can become, because basically the demographics of the district are now where it's 45% white, 40% black. And basically it's a perfect mixture for, you know, for a county setting. And you know, it didn't go the way that we thought it would, but I think it's a perfect environment where I think there are enough fair-minded folks in Baltimore County that will look at what I bring to the table, will look at my business acumen, and look at my track record in terms of my win-wins and the things that I've been able to successfully accomplish in my business life, as well as past president of Baltimore County NAACP, and say, hey, this might be the right way to go for District 2 and for Baltimore County in the future, looking forward. A better, if you would, a better Baltimore County and a better District 2.
Tony, that is a great summary. We will let you get out of here because we know you have a lot of work to do. I do want to address the elephant in the room. Some folks, when they saw you were running, they were excited about the run, but they had a concern, and it was this, and it is that the African-American community and Jewish community at times have had a tenuous relationship. As you said, there are times when they've locked arms and walked together. There are other times when there's been a little bit of distrust on both sides. This is a district that has a significant African-American population and a Jewish population. How are you going to thread that needle so that some old scars don't rear their head, I guess is the way to say it?
Right. I think that the best thing that I can do is just be me. And as I said, I've been level-minded, level-headed my entire life. And I think that I'm no threat to anyone in the community, and that I'm always looking for win-win scenarios. And in that, there's got to be a win-win formula that I can create in Baltimore County and create the harmony that's going to be needed in order for me to win in this election.
Tony, appreciate you coming on, man, and good luck. And it took us a month to get you back here, but you predicted this. So congratulations, and onward and upward with the fight. Don Mohler is here. He's former Baltimore County Executive. And, of course, Tony Fugit running in District 2 here, the new and improved and different District 2 out here in Baltimore County, my county and, now.
And on a last note, VoteTonyFugit.com will be up and running next week, and you'll start to see some of the things that I'm looking forward to working with the community on and doing in the future. Again,
well, they can vote for you. They're going to be able to find you. You're going to be a community associations running around, right?
VoteTonyFugit.com.
That's correct.
Next week. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
Appreciate you, Tony. Come on, get a crab cake with us. We're going to be doing crab cakes throughout May and June. We start the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I got my Betty, but I only have a handful left. They were very popular and lots of winners last week out in Halethorpe, also in Baltimore County, out at Heavy Seas Brewing. We featured two great, great Baltimore County businesses. We had Greg Vetter from Tessie Mays and Hugh Sisson at the same time, and we got into bottling dressing, bottling beer, shipping things, cleaning factories, employing people, and dreaming the dream of local business. It's been a great, great week here at WNST. I am Nestor. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Mohler, we are AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.